Well, Michael, your op-ed in the Financial Times yesterday raises some fascinating questions about Australia's place in the world, our role in the world. Five prime ministers in 8 years, as you point out. Australia, as you argue, used to have a reputation as a policy leader. Now we're hearing comparisons with Italy, given our political instability. What does all of that mean for Australia and, well, for Australia's place in the world and our reputation?
I think we did have a reputation of strength and innovation for a long time. We had a quarter century, really, of very stable governments in the Hawke, Keating and Howard periods, where those governments managed to win five consecutive elections in the case of Labor and four in the case of Liberal off the back of very effective government. And that attracted a lot of attention around the world. And I remember Tony Blair and Gordon Brown as young men coming to talk to Keating. And similarly, I remember the regard in which William Hague and David Cameron held John Howard. So I think those of my generation have that memory. And so it's a bit dispiriting to see how much things have changed. I think there is a sense in which a lot of international observers now look at Australia's performance when it comes to political governance and shake their heads in a slightly confused way. I do think it's a bit of a spectacle. If you think of to go to some concrete ways that it affects our reputation, if you have the kind of churn of prime ministers that you mentioned, but also of foreign ministers, we've had four foreign ministers in the last 8 years. I think this impacts on our leaders' ability to form long-term relationships and run long-term initiatives. I think it goes to the question of reliability. We're seeing a lot of reporting today about what an apparent turnaround in the submarine procurement process might mean for Shinzo Abe and the Japanese government, who perhaps had different expectations about how these things would turn out. So I think these are the problems. I think a lot of our friends overseas have been quite shocked, really, to see how quickly governments and prime ministers in particular can burn through their mandates. And I do think it's affecting their perceptions of us as a reliable and credible interlocutor.
Now, right at the end of the piece, you point out that this era of dysfunction in Australia coincides with an awareness here and around the world, I think, of this massive rise of Asian economies and Asian states, particularly China, but the whole region, really. So what are the links between those two things? What are the implications of our dysfunction for our relationship with Asia and our place in a rising Asian region?
I think two things. One, it's probably not coincidental that this this churn and this new instability and level of dysfunction comes at the end of a long boom. This is probably a PhD dissertation waiting to be written, but surely when people derive expectations about their standard of living, about what government will give them and what it will deny them at the end of a period of great prosperity. So I think that's one point. I think the second point, the corollary of it, is that we're going into a much more complicated and contested period. I think there are big economic opportunities from being proximate to these economies that are succeeding around us. But as everybody who reads the Institute's work knows, there are also real risks. There are not just the risks inherent in the rise of China, the relationship between China and the United States, but the half dozen other big Asian players that are elbowing each other in our region with increased vigor. And so it is a bit sad that it's at exactly the moment when, in a sense, global wealth and power are shifting to our region and we need to step up as a country, that our political system is failing us.
So 5 PMs in 8 years. The conventional wisdom is that this most recent period of instability is not over. We may see Tony Abbott lose his position to Malcolm Turnbull. If Turnbull can't turn things around, we would then get Bill Shorten. Where does this end? And more importantly, how does this end?
I think my first answer to that is it ends with an individual and a group of individuals around him or her who can hold the show together. I mean, ultimately, I do believe in the importance of individual agency in human affairs, and ultimately, this will flow from a successful prime minister who can succeed both domestically and internationally, who can own the job of governing the country, can create a tale to tell his or her party, the political class, and the public, to bring the public along. And I do think, as an historian, I know that vast impersonal forces matter, but individuals also matter. So I think we will look to someone. It might be one of those three individuals, or it might be someone else who has the wherewithal to pull it together. I think, secondly, the role of oppositions is not unimportant in this. I think that, in a sense, Mr. Abbott is reaping what he sowed now. He was an aggressive and relentless opposition leader, and for that reason, he was an exceptional opposition leader. He saw off two prime ministers in a very short period of time. But he's also created an expectation that it's legitimate for opposition leaders to behave like that. And in fact, it's smart and it's good for them to behave like that. And I'm reminded that in the Hawke Keating period, some of the opposition leaders then had a different approach, not to say that they partnered with Hawke and Keating on those economic reforms, but there was a certain level of bipartisanship mm-hmm. about some of them. So that'll be the second issue, is does the mindset of oppositions change? And the third, I think it does in the end, the role of the public also matters. I mean, we are part of the loss of public support for Mr. Abbott is obviously at the core of why he's lost the confidence of many of his own colleagues. And at some point, if we can find, if there's a prime minister who gets his act together, then hopefully the public will go along with that and give him or her some longevity and some support so that they can make decisions, both easy decisions and tough decisions, that are ultimately wise. So I think it's on us as well.
Michael, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Sam.